In Vino Veritas by Pantaleon, narrated by Rhea314. Phantom, the Yin Yang Master. Pairing, Qingming, Boya. Going to the Imperial City to kill the evil serpent is not an obligation, not quite, but it is Master Zhongxing's last request. And for all that Qingming is of the general opinion that humans aren't entirely worth the air they breathe, Master Zhongxing held them in much higher regard. So Qingming returns to the temple to await the imperial summons, makes sure that the temple will not become smoking ruins in his absence, and, once the summons arrives, goes to the imperial city to kill a greater evil. He is not expecting Boya. He is not expecting to find a human, and Boya is human, almost terribly so. That draws him like a moth to flame. He's not expecting to find an equal, a match. The surprise of it is almost enough to distract Qingming from the serpent, from the mystery of Master Hongruo's murder, from trying to figure out Master Zhongxing's last words. He finds himself drawn to looking at Boya time and time again, captivated in a way he's never been before. The draw makes him check their ankles time and again, certain that if he just looks one more time, he'll find evidence of some red string of fate pulling them together. But he never sees any such string and can only continue to marvel at how thoroughly Boya has captured his attention. It's not just physical, though there's enough of that. Boya is pleasing to the eye, even when his face is twisted in disapproval of Qingming's lifestyle. Nor is it solely metaphysical, even though, as the master of the Eastern Isles, Boya is aligned enough with Yang to make Qingming's inherent yin ache for completion. Qingming remembers stories from his mother, telling how she met his father and fell in love, enough to stay with him, to live as his wife, to give him a son. He thinks maybe it's one more piece of her that has been passed to him. Given the circumstances of their first meeting, Qingming feels it's only reasonable to be leery of Boya's reaction to learning that Qingming's mother was a fox demon. When the tadpoles swarm towards him and the princess brings his heritage to light the very next day, Qingming can only smile and own it even as Boya nearly draws steel. But Boya follows the almost attack by offering evidence to exonerate Qingming, before Qingming can clear his own name, and Qingming is confused until he hands over the listening bug, and Boya's face goes tight with anger and an odd relief as he squashes it between his fingers. As convenient as it would be for Qingming to be a half-demon and thus responsible for Master Hongruo's death, Boya doesn't actually believe the rumor. He thinks Qingming human, like him. It makes for an interesting quandary. Qingming doesn't lie. Master Zhongxing had detested lies, and Qingming had learned his craft by making use of the truth in creative ways instead. But even when he makes no effort to hide his nature, beyond keeping the more overt traits concealed, it seems to make no difference. Boya's tongue is sharp as ever. But aside from the one dig at how surely being a demon is easier than a yin-yang master, the rumor is curiously absent from Boya's criticisms. So Qingming smiles without showing his teeth and makes a bet with himself on how long Boya will ignore the truth in front of his eyes. He loses that bet 2 days later when he uses the painting in his room to create a quiet place for them to drink wine together. Boya slants him a curious look when Qingming instructs him to touch the painting, but doesn't seem perturbed when, an instant later, they are standing on the veranda. He simply folds down into the seat provided and watches as Qingming summons Honeybug to bring them wine and cups. Their discussion is illuminating, and although they emerge from the painting with a better understanding of the other, including insight as to why Boya would not consider fox demons something to joke about, Boya has still not connected Qingming's words and actions to the truth. Qingming makes a new bet. Things happen too quickly the day after that, and the next evening finds Qingming standing in front of Hu Shouye, watching as Boya's spiritual form is ripped to shreds by poisonous spikes. It shouldn't be fatal. Boya's spiritual manifestation should be tethered to his mortal form, but Qingming's chest still feels like it's been torn asunder, a fierce ache hot in his breast. He has never prayed before, knows of no god that would listen to a fox demon's hopes, but he prays now to any god that is listening, that he is right in this assumption, that he has not killed Boya with his inadequacy. There's the sear of steel through his belly, and it's only his training, embedded so deeply into his bones through years of repetition, that allows him to put up the protection spell so quickly and without the hand seals. He can feel it without looking, knows it to be resplendent and impenetrable, because that is how Boya makes him feel. Qingming wonders at the difference between this and his history of failed attempts, considers the roll of blood spilt and the pull of a thread that doesn't seem to exist. Qingming reaches behind him, pulls the sword from its path to Boya's heart, and points it towards Hu Shouye instead. After, there is much to do and not enough hours in the day to do it. The palace is in a panic, and both Qingming and Boya seem to be in constant demand from all sides as branch families are contacted, third and fourth and fifth heirs are called in, the truth is untangled from the lies. Qingming spends more time studying the heavens than he ever has before, searching for signs and portents that will guide the future of their country. It is only at night, in those rare moments, when they return to the Department of Celestial Observation but have not yet gone to bed, that they have any time to see one another, let alone speak together. Boya, Qingming calls, and the man pauses in front of his rooms. Join me for a drink. It's been another long day. Qingming knows that they are both exhausted by the pomp and panic of the Imperial Court, as the question of succession is dealt with. But it has been days since they've said more than good morning and good night to each other. Boya considers it for a moment, form half obscured in the dim lighting, but then he turns away from the door, comes to join Qingming. Very well, he says. Qingming smiles and lets them inside. Boya's gaze goes to the painting as Qingming draws the doors shut behind them. The painting has changed, Boya says. Qingming glances over his shoulder at the frame and the lakeside scene it now depicts. Yes, I wanted to see a landscape instead of a building, Qingming says. Are we to drink by a lake then? Boya asks. And it's a reasonable enough question, given the last time they shared a drink. Curious, though, that Boya seems to have picked up on the fact that Qingming had created a world inside the painting, but hasn't shown any sign of realization that Qingming's ability to do so is not a human skill. Qingming has long since lost that second bet with himself, has made it anew a third time. No, I thought it might be best if we drink here, Qingming says, gesturing Boya to one of the seats already set out. How proper of you, Boya says, dry, but he accepts the invitation, folding down next to the table. Qingming joins him, breathing out the summoning spell as he does. A moment later, Honeybug bows and goes to pull out the cups and the pitcher of wine. It may surprise you, Qingming says, nodding his thanks to Honeybug as a cup is set before him. But I am in fact aware of propriety. You simply choose to flout it whenever possible. Boya finishes for him, eyebrows lifted. It's not a criticism. His tone resigned and neutral, and Qingming smiles. Indeed. There is silence for a moment as Honeybug pours the wine, leaving the jug next to Qingming's elbow before excusing herself with a bow. Qingming gestures for Boya to drink first, and again Boya acquiesces without hesitation. Only after they have both taken that first savoring sip does Qingming speak again. I will be leaving the day after tomorrow, he says. I am needed up north. So soon? Boya asks. And Ching Wing doesn't think he imagines the way Boya's fingers tighten on his cup. But he's not entirely sure whether to trust his own eyes, either. The matters at court are settled enough that they have no need of two masters in residence. Ching Ming interrupts gently, smiling. I have full confidence in your ability to see them through the remaining uncertainty. Boya's mouth pinches briefly. Such praise is unlike you, he says. Weren't you just accusing me of being nothing more than a pretty face the other day? Ching Ming's smile widens and he sips his wine. Did I? He asks. I don't recall. Boya snorts. Shameless, he mutters into his cup. The humor fades after a moment, though, and Boya lowers his cup to the table. So, the day after tomorrow, you'll miss the coronation ceremony. The issue of who is to inherit the imperial throne has been settled, finally. But the coronation ceremony is set for the following week. In all honesty, Ching Ming is not too bothered by the prospect of missing out on it. I can't put it off any longer in good conscience, Ching Ming says. I'm sure the ceremony will be impeccable with you guiding it. Another compliment, Boya says, one eyebrow lifting. Are you sure you're feeling well? I'm feeling fine, Boya, Ching Ming says. He reaches to fill his cup again. Is it really so hard to believe I might view you with some respect? Boya seems to consider the question, finger tapping at the edge of his cup before he tips back the rest of the wine in his cup. Yes, he says, finally, holding his cup out for Ching Ming to refill it. It is. I think I should be insulted, Ching Ming says mildly. But since you are here drinking with me, I will overlook it, Master Boya. So generous, Boya says, as dry as his cup is not. I do try. Ching Ming swirls the wine a little, watching it catch the light, his smile fading. To be entirely truthful, I find it exhausting being here. I am unaccustomed to being surrounded by so many people, and it is draining. Boya looks at him, surprise evident on his face. I would have thought you would be comfortable in such an environment, he says, with such an agreeable character. You have no problem surrounding yourself with the company of your spirit guardians, after all. And now a compliment from Boya, Ching Ming says, instead of answering the implicit question. If Boya has not made the realization yet, Ching Ming has decided that he would rather not be in any sort of physical proximity when he does. Much better to bear that sort of ire from a distance, perhaps through a letter, than up close and in person. Boya has proven to be entirely too quick to reach for his blade or his bow. What an unexpected pleasure. Don't get used to it, Boya says, mouth twisting like he's trying to hold back a smile. Ching Ming doesn't bother holding back his own. I would never dream of it. They share another moment of silence before Boya presses the issue. What do you mean, that it's draining? He asks, curious but not accusatory. Ching Ming takes a drink to give himself a moment. The question would be much easier to answer if Boya were fully aware of Ching Ming's nature. Just that, he says, finally. And there are certain urges that I have to monitor closely and curb appropriately when I am around others. My spirit guardians do not require such efforts, so they are easier company. Fox demons, by virtue of what they are particularly aligned with yin, and live an existence that is constantly yearning for yang. Ching Ming, being born a man, and thus somewhat aligned with yang, balances it out to an extent, but there is always the underlying drive to seek out more. With so many people around, it is harder to resist the urge to take the easy way out, and absorb the yang essence from the humans around him. Qingming might not be terribly fond of humanity as a whole, given his experiences, but stealing life essence is a good way to become known as a malevolent fox demon and then subsequently hunted and killed. Qingming is rather fond of living, as it turns out, so he tries to keep a low profile. Certain urges, Boya echoes, and Qingming nearly rolls his eyes. Heaven save him from intelligent men who are somehow simultaneously dense as a brick. Boya is lucky that his face is indeed pretty, Qingming thinks, and then feels uncharitable for the thought. That is what I said, yes, Qingming says. Boya huffs, clearly annoyed. You always speak so obliquely, he says. And you always speak so directly, Qingming replies over his cup. One of us has to maintain some semblance of mystery. The only mystery is how you get anything done with as much time as you spend drinking and playing Weiqi. Boya sighs. If you would ever join me for a drink or a game of Weiqi, maybe you would find out, Qingming says, and smiles when Boya can't resist rolling his eyes. Boya doesn't push for a clearer answer, letting the conversation devolve into smaller topics. Stories of the younger disciples of their sects, some complaints about the sheer amount of ceremony involved in the imperial court actions. He declines a third cup of wine, but doesn't excuse himself, so Qingming continues to refill his own cup, steadily drinking through the small jug as they talk. The room dims around them, all Qingming's focus on the man across the table from him, as the night wears on and the candle burns down. Boya's voice is low and steady, a pleasant sound to listen to, and Qingming asks questions just to listen to the sound of the answers. At some point, Qingming closes his eyes as Boya tells him a story of a pair of troublesome disciples that had snuck alcohol into the temple and ended up hungover at their morning exercises the next day. He leans an elbow on his knee, his chin against his palm, humming at the appropriate spots to show that he's listening. Qingming, Boya says, and Qingming hums absently before recognizing his name and blinking his eyes open again. Boya's mouth is pressed flat, but Qingming thinks it's more exasperated fondness than irritation, and he smiles in response. Sorry, I'm listening, he says, lifting a hand to gesture for Boya to continue, only to realize he's still holding his wine cup. It's empty, and he makes a small noise of disappointment, reaches for the wine jug to pour himself more. Only a few drops of wine come out when he tips it, however, and he sighs. Ah, looks like we're out of wine, he says, and nearly sets the jug on the floor before carefully redirecting it to the table. I'll have another one brought. Qingming, Boya says again, and Qingming looks at him, helpless to do anything else when Boya says his name. Boya's face has smoothed out, unreadable. It's late, Boya continues when he has Qingming's attention. Qingming wants to tell him that he always has his attention, but can't quite find the words for it. You should rest. It's not so late as all that, Qingming protests, even though he knows Boya's right. It had been late when they returned to the Department of Celestial Observation, and some of the candles are starting to flicker. It's probably more accurate to say that it's now very early, closer to dawn than sunset. Yes, it is, Boya says, standing. He steps around the table, looking down at Qingming. Come on. You drank most of that jug by yourself, and I'm not sure Honeybug is strong enough to carry you to bed if you pass out before you reach it. I'm not going to pass out, Qingming says, and stands to prove it. The fact that he has to grab onto Boya when the floor tilts under him means nothing. Boya is steady as a rock, though, and patiently takes Qingming's weight. I'll believe that when I see it, he says. Ching Ming straightens once he's sure the floor won't move again. It's not far to the bed, at least, but he's thinking that he perhaps drank more than he realized, and that Boya is right to be concerned. Regardless, he takes each step carefully, reaching out occasionally for a post or Boya's arm when the floor threatens to wobble again. As he steps up onto the platform where his bed is, he glances at Boya. "I can make it from here," he says. A lifted eyebrow conveys exactly what Boya thinks of that statement, and Ching Ming huffs, turning away.
"As you like, then," he says, reaching for his sash.
He lets the fabric drop to the floor. He'll pick it up in the morning. It's not like anyone besides Boya or Honeybug will see it, and starts to shrug off the outer robes he's still wearing. Behind him, Boya makes a low, strangled noise, and Ching Ming glances over his shoulder, smiling slightly when he sees Boya's eyes fixed firmly on the ceiling.
"I'm sorry, did you say something?"
"Nothing," Boya manages.
Ching Ming hums and lets the outer robe slip off his arms and down to join the sash, leaving him only in his inner robe and pants. The thin fabric is warm, but the air is slightly chill and he shivers a little, eases his control until his power is a pleasant hum under his skin and his legs are wrapped in warmth. Better.
"You can look if you want to," he says,
smiling as he bends to pull off his shoes, one hand braced against the bed.
"I don't mind."
"That's not the—"
The words cut off abruptly, but it's not the embarrassed silence that Ching Ming is expecting. It feels more like that moment when Boya had started to draw his sword, when the tadpoles had swarmed towards Ching Ming, sharp and edged with tension that is almost threatening. Ching Ming straightens and turns, his wine-soaked brain wondering what danger has appeared, but there's nothing there. Only Boya, standing stiff and tense, no longer looking at the ceiling, dark eyes now fixed on something down around Ching Ming's legs. He follows the look, has to be careful not to lean too far forward as he does so.
"Oh," he says, because those are his tails, all three of them, the pale fur visible against the sheer fabric of his inner robe. They must have slipped out when he tried to warm himself up. "I guess I lost my bet again."
"That's a pity. He'd had a whole jug of wine riding on that bet."
"Ching Ming,"
Boya says, and his voice is tight, the way it was when he warned Ching Ming not to joke about demons again. At his side, his hand is clenched, held back and a little out, probably the exact space his sword would occupy if he'd been wearing it.
"You..."
So much for not being present when Boya finally connected the clues together. Ching Ming sighs and turns to sit on his bed, tails automatically flicking out to settle around his hips. He's drunk, he knows, his mind not as sharp or as quick as it is normally. "Me," he agrees. "Can we talk about this in the morning, when I'm not drunk and we're not both exhausted?"
"No," Boya says, immediate. "I thought it was just a rumor, the tadpoles."
"Reacted to the strongest demonic energy present, and I've had a lot of practice at suppressing mine." Ching Ming sighs.
"You lied to us," Boya says, "to me."
"When did I lie to you?" Ching Ming asks, spreading his hands. Boya opens his mouth, then stops, clearly thinking back over the past weeks, and realizing what Ching Ming has known since the beginning. There have been no lies between them. Withheld truths, yes, a few of those, but no lies. Ching Ming has never denied the rumors, has never declared himself to be human. Ching Ming watches a muscle jump as Boya clenches his jaw and sighs, pressing his fingers to his forehead, feeling the echoes of a headache that hasn't arrived yet. "I understand this is a shock to you," he says, as steady as he can manage. "But it is late, and we are both tired,
We may say things we do not mean and cannot take back. We will talk in the morning, Boya.
Will you even be here in the morning?
Boya asks, sharp. Qingming lowers his hand to look at him.
Yes, Boya, I will be here. Likely with a headache and a sensitivity to loud noises, but I will be here.
May I sleep now?
For all his earlier reluctance to go to bed, now it sounds like the most amazing thing. A soft pillow under his head, the weight of a blanket drawn up to his shoulders. Qingming supposes it might be a bit much to imagine the warmth of another body pressed close, but he's willing to blame that on the wine. He's not likely to tempt Boya into his bed now, he thinks. Not now that Boya is fully aware of what Qingming is. Best to just give up on that idea, probably.
First thing in the morning, Boya finally says.
Yes, yes, as you wish, Qingming says. Please do not attack Honeybug again when she brings me tea. I won't be feeling up to stopping you again, if you do.
Boya makes a noise full of irritated derision, but Qingming couldn't care less right now. He turns to lay down, his back to Boya, pulling the cover over himself. Good night, Boya. It's a long minute before Qingming hears footsteps retreating through the room. The light rattle and clack of the door opening and closing. No doubt Boya had spent some time debating whether to kill Qingming or not, torn between the deep hatred he feels towards fox demons and the friendship that has grown between them. Qingming takes a breath, lets it out slow, and closes his eyes. In the morning, he'll find out whether that friendship can survive this. He hopes Boya doesn't yell too much. His headache will likely be fierce. He's right about the headache. Qingming is awoken by the sharp rap of knuckles against the door, and he groans at the pain that spikes through his head, rolling over to press his face into the pillows as if that will mute any further disturbance. For a moment, he thinks it worked. Peaceful quiet descending, and he sighs, reaching for the fading edges of sleep. There's another knock, and Qingming flinches, whole head ringing like it's being knocked on instead of the door.
Honeybug, he groans into the pillow. Tea.
A moment later, he feels her soft, cool hand against his cheek. Poor master, she says, barely more than a whisper. Despite the words, however, there's a distinct lack of sympathy in her voice, and entirely too much amusement.
Tea, honeybug, he mumbles. No judgment.
She doesn't laugh out loud, but he can picture the way she's probably biting her lip to hold it back. As you like, master, she says, and it still lacks sincerity. Qingming regrets ever making her a spirit guardian. He really does. He listens to her move away from the bed, the too loud slide of the door and hushed voices that follow, one high and one low, and then the familiar sounds of tea being prepared. Since he's decidedly awake and not likely to be allowed to go back to sleep, Qingming rolls carefully onto his back. His head is pounding, his mouth is as dry as the manuscripts in the Imperial Library, and he has the distinct feeling he's forgotten something important.
How much did I drink? He asks, when Honeybug comes back, a cup of fresh tea cradled in her hands.
I feel like death. All of a jug, she says, kneeling down next to the bed, except for two cups.
That would do it.
Qingming grimaces, then braces himself for the ordeal that is going to be sitting up. His arms feel like cooked noodles, but he manages to push himself upright, letting himself fold forward so as to avoid falling back into bed. The headache is not accompanied by nausea, at least, but just the headache alone is bad enough. Honeybug holds out the cup of tea, and Qingming takes it carefully, brings it to his face to breathe in the steam. Ginger and honey, perfect. He blows gently to cool it enough to drink, then sips at it slowly. Once it's gone, he hands the cup back.
Thank you, he sighs. She bows slightly in acknowledgement. "When you are ready, Master Boya is here to see you," she says.
"Did you..."
Qingming cuts himself off as he glances over, sees the familiar silhouette through the screen. "Ah, right. Can you bring me my..." Honeybug is already moving to fetch a clean robe, and Qingming is so grateful for her, really. "Thank you." Getting dressed is even more of an ordeal, more because Qingming doesn't quite trust his legs to hold him up than because it's a difficult task. If his arms are cooked noodles, then his legs are overdone, feeling boneless and too wobbly to be the supports they should be. He ties his sash simply, not bothering with being entirely proper. It's just Boya, after all, and if the other master didn't want to see Qingming hungover and not quite put together, then he shouldn't have come calling so early. Honeybug takes his arm to walk him around to the reception area, and he leans on her more than he'd like to admit. She doesn't complain, though, just guides him gently over the steps and around the dividing screens. Boya is seated already at the table, dressed in his leathers, weapons secured against his back, and he looks up as Qingming comes into view. Qingming's steps falter at the look, sharp and suspicious, the way Boya hasn't been since the night before they'd gone to confront He Shouyu and Changping.
"Boya."
"It is morning," Boya says, like that is supposed to mean something beyond the obvious.
Yes, it is, but..."
"And you're a fox demon," Boya interrupts. "Ah, that would be the something important he'd forgotten." "Oh," Qingming says out loud. He takes a breath, continues walking with Honeybug's support until he can fold down into the open seat. "Right. Would you like some tea?" Honeybug offers a cup, but Boya shakes his head. "I'm not here to drink with you," he says. And Qingming wonders if last night will be the last time he shares a drink with Boya. He remembers less of it than he'd like, if that's the case.
"I'm here because you saved... you saved the city, and for that I'll hear you out before I forbid you from ever coming back."
"We saved the city together," Qingming says, accepting a second cup of tea from Honeybug. "Not that I'm arguing," he adds quickly when Boya's brows draw together.
"Explain yourself."
Qingming sighs. He'd been a fool to think that sleep would make this conversation any easier. He might not be drunk anymore, but the after effects are nearly as bad. "I'm not sure what you want me to explain," he says, lifting a hand to press at his temple, like that will keep his head from splitting apart. "Things seem fairly self-explanatory to me."
"Why did you let me continue thinking you were as human as I?"
Boya asks, apparently undeterred. "I thought you would realize it on your own," Qingming says. "I wasn't exactly trying to hide it, after all. You were the one who told me to stop bringing it up." Boya's face twists, mouth flattening, but it's true enough. "And then everything happened so quickly there wasn't time to tell you," Qingming continues, when Boya doesn't say anything. "Afterwards, I was recovering, and then there was so much to do with the court, it no longer seemed a priority."
"It didn't seem a priority to let me know I was laboring under the misconception that you weren't a fox demon,"
Boya says, and it's not yelling, but the words rattle around Qingming's head anyway, making him wish the tea would start working.
"I see. Is there any part of you that isn't demonic?"
That hurts in a different way. Qingming had hoped that, after everything, Boya would have a new appreciation for Qingming's approach to their duties, for his guardian spirits that were also demons. Now he thinks maybe it has been a vain hope after all. He finishes the cup of tea, sets it down carefully on the table. "If you have already made up your mind, Master Boya, then there is little I could say to persuade you otherwise." he says, and it feels a little weird to sincerely address Boya so formally, even though they'd been total strangers just a couple scant weeks ago. One more thing he'll have to get used to, he thinks. It makes something in his chest ache as much as his head. All those pretty words and defensive demons, and you won't even spare a few for yourself? Boya asks, eyes narrow. If you remember my words, there is little point in restating them, Qingming says. And I'm not going to apologize for what I am, as if it's anything I had any control over. He reaches for the teapot to pour himself a new cup. Though I do regret that the circumstances of my birth will cause such a divide between us. Boya's expression twitches, like he's not sure how to react to that. Qingming sighs and lets go of the near subconscious grasp on his magic, feels the sudden ease in muscles he normally ignores as his tails manifest physically again, along with his claws and teeth. Honeybug let him know once that his eyes change too, but he's yet to brave his reflection when he's like this, to find out firsthand what they look like. The headache eases a little with a flush of magic, but doesn't go away. He watches Boya's whole body tense at the transformation, eyes narrow and focused as they take in the ways Qingming's nature manifests. One hand twitches as if he wants to reach for his sword, but it doesn't even make it as far as touching the hilt before Boya pulls it back to clench against his thigh. It's a show of restraint that Qingming is honestly surprised by, given Boya's anger so far. This is what I am, Master Boya, he says, sipping at his tea, as unthreatening as he knows how to be. Not that he expects it to do much to set Boya at ease. He'd attacked Honeybug for the crime of simply walking up behind him, after all. It was not my intention to hide this from you, but I understand it has come as a shock. My apologies for that. He sets the cup down to lift his hands and bow from his seat, movements slow enough that they won't be mistaken. I understand that my nature is disruptive to you, he continues once he's risen from the bow and picked up his tea again. I was planning to return to the north tomorrow, but if it would be more agreeable, I can leave today instead. Boya has been silent, face drawn tight with something that isn't quite anger, but isn't far from it either. For a long moment after Qingming finishes speaking, he doesn't say anything, just looks at Qingming, with an expression that Qingming has never seen before. I hate when you do that, Boya says, eventually, sighing, and for all the frustration in his voice, it's no longer accusatory. Qingming blinks, not sure what Boya means. You make it very difficult to stay angry at you, Boya explains. He glances sideways at where Honeybug has been discreetly waiting. I'll take that tea now. Qingming considers that. I'm unsure if I should apologize for that as well, he says, thoughtful. Don't bother, Boya says, accepting the cup Honeybug holds out. It would just make me want to stab you again. Thank you. Honeybug smiles at him as she pours the tea. From the smell of it, she'd actually prepared two pots, since the tea she gives Boya isn't the ginger and honey that Qingming is drinking. Qingming really doesn't know what he'd do without her. He watches Boya take a sip, watches the stiff line of Boya's shoulders gradually ease. He's not entirely sure what he's done to turn Boya's ire aside, but he's glad to see the results. Boya looks at him again after a long minute of savoring the tea, eyes flicking from Qingming's face to his hands to the tails that peek out from under Qingming's robe. He snorts. It suits you, he says, clearly reluctant to say anything nice about it. Aren't you supposed to have furry ears, though? I'm only half demon, Qingming says. My father's blood is strong enough to suppress some of my mother's nature. Boya hums acknowledgement, still sipping at his tea, but his eyes slide sideways to the painting that provides a backdrop to the table setting. It still shows the placid lakeside scene, trees and water and a couple of herons in the long grass. The painting. Fox magic, Ching Ming admits. I was somewhat surprised that you didn't realize what I was then, actually. You use teleportation portals, Boya says. It didn't seem like that much of a stretch. I see. The tea is finally doing its job, Ching Ming's headache reduced to a low throb, and Ching Ming sighs a little in relief. Are you still going to ban me from the city? Boya makes a face, mouth twisting. No. It probably would have been futile anyway. Ching Ming lowers his head. I would have respected your wishes, he says, if you never wanted to see me again. The silence from Boya is surprised, like he'd never even considered that Ching Ming would go along with banishment. That's not... What if the serpent returns here? Then I would send my most capable master to answer the summons, Ching Ming says evenly. I am the head of my sect, but I am hardly the only one that's proficient. It's a tidy and logical solution, and, by the look on Boya's face, not one he'd ever considered. Or maybe he's just surprised that it's coming from Ching Ming. That seems more likely. Boya's expression shifts, before firming into determination. No, that won't be necessary, he says. And you don't need to leave earlier than you planned. It's fine. Ching Ming really shouldn't doubt his good fortune, but given the way the morning had started, he'd expected a lot more anger, and he's not sure what to think of Boya's sudden equanimity. Are you sure? He asks. You've made your feelings about fox demons very clear. If it would be more comfortable... And I thought I'd made my feelings on you just as clear. Boya interrupts, the tips of his ears going pink even as he scowls at his cup. Ching Ming chokes on air. It turns out, there's a halfway decent chance of getting Boya in his bed after all. Though, considering the way Boya still twitches when he catches sight of Ching Ming's tails, probably not in the very near future. He makes another bet with himself. This one, he thinks. He's going to win, for sure. The end. If you've enjoyed this story, please leave feedback to the author. You can do that at a link to the text through this Podfix post. Thank you for listening. And happy ITBE, Revolutionary Joe. Hopefully you've enjoyed this Podfix.